Hi, I'm John Elias.
And Jackson from Montreal, Canada.
You're listening to the IVND podcast.
Go Cubs, go!
Hi, and welcome to this midweek episode of the IVMV podcast. This is an episode that we are recording live at the Market Grill in the Hy-Vee in Moline on John Deere Road. So thank you to Hy-Vee for inviting us down here, and thanks to everyone that came down to hang out. We appreciate it. And the Cubs game is on up here. We're recording this during the Wednesday night Cubs-Reds game, the final game in the series. On this episode, we're going to talk a little bit about this series with the Reds and where the Cubs stand in regards to home field advantage throughout the playoffs, or at least throughout the NLCS. And the bulk of this episode will be listener questions on various Cubs topics. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and joining me, the other two hosts of this podcast.
Hi, it's Andy.
And this is Kurt.
Hey, fellas. Nice to see you. Nice to see you in person here.
Yeah, I'm within reach.
Hey, maintain the halo.
Yeah, as I said on the last episode, I think it's been 6 years since we've done a live recording in public, and this is definitely a different dynamic.
I agree.
Yep. But
I feel like we're a part of an expert panel.
So last night I was up at the Cubs game for social media night, and I had a lot of fun at that event. Every year they try to do something different for Cubs social, and I really enjoyed what they did this year. It was like I feel like I can't look at you guys when I'm sitting sideways or something. But they did a trivia thing, like bar style trivia, and I think it was a coincidence, but let's assume it wasn't. And the Cubs know that I'm always wanting to take a minute to talk about Javi, because I was the designated captain of Team Javi last night. So that was, we did not win though. I was gonna
say, your team destroyed it, right?
No. I could make a joke about fielding questions, but I got nothing. So, they put you in teams like with random people, and that was kind of fun just to get, you know, I guess it added to the social component of the whole thing, is just that you were kind of mixed in with people you didn't know. And it was nice because we had a couple of females on our team that knew a lot about like players' Twitter accounts and stuff, which I did not know much about at all. So, but it was pretty fun.
Well, for those Cubs front office people who are listening and know Corey's a Javi fan, maybe let's have it on a Saturday next year. So then the three of us will all attend.
Yeah, that would be nice.
I don't think we could all lose on the same trivia team together.
Right. Yeah. But I don't know if I mentioned, we didn't get last place. So I felt we won by not getting last place.
That's so pretty good.
Yeah. We were second to last place.
Okay. That's so 2012.
I rescind my, that's not bad. Yeah.
But, you know, the questions were very difficult. It was the rounds, the easiest rounds were like, you know, identify this player's emoji face or whatever. And I'm not even like an emoji person, but I was able to kind of, we were still wrong on several of them, but some of the trivia questions were really difficult. So that's kind of fun to have something that really challenges you and pushes you. So
how would you describe yourself? I'm an emoji person.
There's really only two camps.
It's a good thing to say in a job interview, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. So I stayed with Danny from the Son Ranto podcast. That was awesome. But I got to see several listeners. Crawley was there. Evan Altman from Cubs Insider. Neil from Chicago Cubs Online. And met up with some listeners. Phil, Chase, that came out to our place for the weekend at the lake. His girlfriend, Melissa. And I saw Tim and Katie, you know, from down in Decatur. We reminisced about when they drove up for the Javier Baez debut game and Katie got hit on by the creepy guy at Duffy's. So we enjoyed that. And then Tracy, she introduced herself and said that she fairly recently started listening to the podcast, and she wanted me to let you guys know that she enjoys the internet muscle flexes.
Nice. Well, we got a whole bunch coming this week.
A big spate of those tonight.
Yep. So I'll talk about, remind me later to talk about the vibe of Wrigley, because I think that kind of plays into the topic of the, this Red series. But you'll remember that we're giving away a John Baker bobblehead to one of our Patreon supporters. I did the random.org drawing this morning, and Kurt, just so you can be, you can verify it's true, Jamie Ferguson won. And so, Jamie, I will be getting that in the mail to you right away. So, Kurt, we kind of thought that we were done with the where are we now segments, but there's still a lot of important stuff going on, and I think we need to be tracking the pursuit of home field advantage. So,
yeah.
Where are we?
Well, I mean, there are plenty of people freaking out when the starting lineup was not what we were used to and people worried about home field advantage. I think you can rest now. The magic number is just 3 for home field advantage, so they could wrap that up pretty quickly, probably this weekend, maybe sometime, depending on how each team does. Both the Cubs and the Nats are off tomorrow, so it'll be a little slower developing. But yeah, just 3 games, nothing to worry about. Not in jeopardy by any means.
And how many games remaining?
11 games.
Yeah, so left. So a combination of 3 Cubs wins, yep. And
or
Nationals losses,
right?
And the Cubs would be insured home field advantage through the NLCS if we're lucky enough.
Yeah, and I think really the more interesting conversation about where are we is who they're going to play out of the wild card, which is actually quite exciting to watch, because the Mets, Giants, and Cardinals are all tied for the wild card at 80-71. So 3-way tie for the wild card, that could get interesting, given the Cubs will play the winner of that game.
Can we talk about this for a second? Tony's over here, and we were talking in Dayton, and we were talking about the fact that it could be a 3-team tie for the wild card. And so have you guys looked into like how this is going to play out?
I saw like a graphic with the 3 teams, you know, logos right next to each other, and I tuned right out. So I was like, I'm not going to make any sense of that.
Okay, this is crazy. So I'm going to try to explain it with the 3 of us up here. Like, we will represent teams and explain how this is going to happen. So
yeah. I call not the Cardinals.
Too late. You're already the Cardinals.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah, we've already discussed that. So, okay, I'll be the Mets. Kurt, you're the Giants. Andy over here is the Cardinals.
I feel dirty. I need to take a shower.
Okay, so right now each team has, although the Cardinals lost today, but going into today's games, the teams had records of...
I'm just confirming we lost.
You lost 11-1 to the Rockies.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty.
So they each had records of 81-70. Okay, so they're fighting over 2 spots. So here's what the tiebreaker is. It's first off, it's the head-to-head between our 3 teams. And so the Mets and Cardinals, me and Andy, are both 7-6, and the Giants are 6-8. So since the Mets and Cardinals are tied, it then goes to your record versus your own division. So that's kind of hard to say, because there's like 9 to 10, 11 games left in your own division. So we can't really speculate on that right now. So that gets you a slot to choose which position you want to be in. Okay, so here's what would happen. For the sake of argument, let's say that the Mets won the head-to-head over the Cardinals. We're going to spend too much time on this.
But
it's really kind of fascinating.
We've already spent too much time on this.
Okay, so the Mets won the head-to-head over the Cardinals. So it would, right now, it's the Mets, Cardinals, Giants in that order. So Mets and Cardinals play each other. The 1 and 2 seed teams play each other. Then, okay, so say I win.
And the Giants get to heckle them from the stands.
Right. So then, okay, so let's say I win.
Okay.
You, as the loser, have to go play the Giants.
Oh, man.
Okay. Then the winner of that team comes back to play me, the Mets. So what could happen is let's say that that's exactly how it plays out. That means that the Cardinals could have to fly to New York, play a game, turn around, fly all the way to San Francisco to play a game.
All then just fly to miss
back
the postseason.
To New York to fly back to New York to play a game. And that's all while the Cubs are resting in their beautiful clubhouse.
I guess
clubhouse.
That would be, they technically have made the postseason, right? And this, right, all right. 3 of these teams, their postseason gear is valid.
You know they'll be selling it. So, yeah. So then if it plays out that way, the team that I mean, and this is what I think is kind of interesting about it. It's a wonderful scenario for the Cubs because the team that the Cubs face will have played two, possibly three games. At least two games, possibly three.
Beautiful.
So think about the travel. Think about what that does to a pitching staff.
Right.
That if the team has had to play three games, they're going in facing our number one and with their either number four or a bullpen guy.
Wow, that's great. And then meanwhile, the Cubs have just been manning the call center at the Brizzo Souvenir Company. That's all they've been doing this whole time. Let's be honest. It's Spencer Patton answering the phones at this point. Anthony and Chris aren't anywhere near the call center.
No.
Yeah, okay.
No. I wonder who has order fulfillment responsibility. That's a Matt Caesar job, I bet.
Yeah.
Returns and customer service.
So I don't know. I just think that that's something interesting to pay attention to. I mean, obviously, with a week and a half left, chances are the three teams are not going to tie. But it would be great for the Cubs if they did. I mean, what an advantage. Because then you've got your number two going against either a number one on short rest or a number five, which then that team is forced to carry so many pitchers, starting pitchers on the playoff roster. It's just really interesting how it could all play out.
But then again, the Cubs are coming into a Cardinals series on the weekend that they could potentially play spoiler and knock the Cardinals out of that scenario.
So right.
I'd almost rather see that. Well, like you sweep the Cardinals this weekend and then they're not eliminated, but certainly have an uphill battle to get that wild card.
Well, okay. Since we're on the topic of the Cardinals series, I'm kind of interested to hear what you guys think because I was, as I said, I was up with Danny, and we were kind of talking about the likelihood that Matheny and the Cardinals will be targeting Bryant, Rizzo, someone, you know, retaliation for Holiday or just whatever chip they have on their shoulder.
I don't think they're that dirty to do that.
You don't think so?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's not like Clint Hurdle.
But there's another team that's coming in, too.
Yeah, that's true.
They've got Gung to retaliate for.
Oh, geez. Time to play all the 40-man.
See, and that's just it. So do you play all your starters to hopefully knock the Cardinals out of the playoffs, or do you not put your starters in there because you don't really trust the headhunters not to come after them?
Gosh, I have a hard time seeing a team doing that.
I would hope it would have been taken care of already.
No offense to the Cardinals fans in the room.
To handle that business, and you should do it. Right. If you're going to do it, you do it fairly soon after the offending incident. I know, but
you know one cool thing is you can get a 16-ounce roll of ground beef here for $1.99 right now. So after the podcast, just
everybody's going to go away if you tell them all the great deals.
Yeah, well, I mean, the deals will still be there after we're done talking. But just put that one on the list if it's not on there.
I kind of want to comment on the game that I went to last night. It is a weird feeling at Wrigley right now. Weird in that it was essentially a sellout. I think it was 40,500 or something like that. So pretty close to a sellout. And it was like not a playoff atmosphere, but it feels like it. Oh, we got.
Is I that just heard the
Zobrist the, walk-up music,
the sonorous sounds, the mellifluous sounds of Juliana.
Anyway, it was kind of weird to be there, and it was like this weird kind of like not nervous, but just like anticipation. Like, okay, this is great. But let's just hurry up and get done with this. And it was kind of weird because as the game was going on, the game was really never the Reds were really never in the game last night. But it was like it felt like it was going slow, and you just wanted to hurry up and get over. And I think that was like just kind of the mood in the ballpark was we're ready for playoffs, we're ready for the postseason. So I thought it was kind of interesting. We talked about our changing interest, I guess, in the games until the playoffs start. And so I was sitting with Chase last night, and he kind of, I like the way that he put it. He said that it kind of feels in the ballpark, it felt like the feeling that you had as a kid on December 20th. Like you were, you know, you just wanted the day to get done with so that you could, you know, just a couple more days away and it was going to be Christmas. And
unwrap that Red Ryder BB gun.
Right, right.
Yeah.
That's what the playoffs are, just to.
I don't know. I mean, I'm fine. I'm kind of fine with. I'm excited for the playoffs, yeah, but right. I mean, I'm not
it's
chomping
a nice
at
little,
the bit. Yeah,
little break before the anxiety level ticks up.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's especially after last year. I mean, again, I was talking with Tony beforehand, and we were talking about how like we were just such a nervous wreck the entire last month. And then having to play that playoff game, isn't it really nice that there's these three teams that are fretting and worrying about how they're going to get in, and we just don't have to worry about it at all as fans and as an organization, that they can just really begin to prepare for game one and for the NLDS.
As different as it could be from last year.
Yeah.
Besides not making the playoffs.
The one thing that stood out to me last night is, man, the Reds are bad. They are so bad.
Bad in all areas.
So the Cubs' run differential this year on the season is 232. Any guess what the Cubs' run differential versus the Reds?
230.
I'm going to make a real guess and say 57.
Close, 63.
Wow.
Which is crazy. That's, I mean,
that is nuts.
Yeah, so they're, I forget now. I forgot what the record is against them. Is it... Oh,
don't look for. I'm not going to throw you a life preserver.
I'm looking around. Hey, anybody know what the record? Well, the Reds have won three times this year, I believe. I believe the Reds have beat them three times. But they're just such a bad team, which was another reason it was kind of weird to be there and kind of like, okay, let's. I don't want to see the Cubs versus the Reds. I want to see the Cubs versus a playoff team.
Sure.
And my other comment from that game was it was amazing to see David Ross score from first base, first to home, and then belly flop.
Well, he made it look as much like a slide as he could. He was able to preserve a little dignity there. But, oh, man, he was laboring. It reminded me of running track and running a 400 in track because you feel like you're willing your legs, like your legs are hitting a brick wall like every time they come forward. And that's what it looked like. It looked like a track athlete at the end of a 400, and he hadn't run anywhere close to a 400, but man, I felt bad for him. His legs, you could tell he didn't get a full extension on his knees, you know. I mean, it was
yeah, it was 64. Yeah. Oh, okay, run differential Cubs is now or the Reds is now 64. Yeah, that was amazing to see, though. And, man, Lester ripped that ball. I mean, he got the barrel on it, and it was...
I thought it was a homer off the bat when he first hit it.
Yeah, the wind was blowing in a little bit from right field, so it kind of seemed like...
That StatCast thing said it was 107 mile an hour exit
really?
Velocity.
Yep. Oh, my gosh.
He clubbed that one. Yep.
Yeah, it was a great-looking hit, and it was nice to see like those two generating... some offense.
Yeah. Or you know. I think actually more entertaining was the Lester walk when he backed out of the box every time and still walked. He's like, I'm just going to leave. And I still picked up a walk.
Telegraphing my intention with this pitch is not to swing. Yeah.
Yeah, that was it was fun. Okay, so we have a lot of listener questions here that were sent in through our Patreon group. And Andy, did you want to give an update?
One other thing you can pick up after the podcast is there's yogurt. You can get a six-pack that is 2 for $6. So check that out if you're looking for some digestive help. Grab some yogurt after the podcast.
Andy failed to mention that it was Activia. It's not just any yogurt.
I was going to leave the brand out of it.
Maybe they'll be a sponsor.
Activia, if you're listening, we would love to try to help you sell your product. I mean, it sells itself.
We can't compete with Jamie Lee Curtis.
All right, so let's get into some of these listener questions. The first one here comes from Thad, and Thad says, what does he say? Oh, he simply says Hamill last 7 home starts.
Yeah.
So interpret that however you
I kind of like dug into it a little bit as far as like what he was asking. Of course, Hamill's been really good in this last 7 home starts, but really, more than that, last year was really first half, second half Hamill, and now we're kind of switching to home away Hamill. That narrative has changed a little bit because at Wrigley this year, Hamill's 10-1 with a 1.84 ERA in his 14 starts, and that even surprised me. I didn't realize he was that good.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'll finish that up. But
that means the road is worse than I expect.
It's going to be bad. But he's only allowed 17 earned runs in those 14 starts. And on the road, 5-8, 5.33 ERA in 15 starts. And he's allowed 48 earned runs versus the 17 at home in those 15 starts. And so, I mean, I kind of dug a little bit. He's still throwing strikes. He's just getting hit hard on the road.
Which doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, the opponent batting average splits are 179 at Wrigley and 284 on the road.
Wow. And he's given bizarre over the course of a season.
18 home runs at Wrigley. Or, I'm sorry, 18 home runs on the road and 6 at Wrigley. And they're almost, I mean, 14 versus 15 starts.
Hmm.
So, interesting. I mean, it's a good split, so you can compare. Then I think, again, what that was getting at, in his last 7 at Wrigley, he's 7-0 and allowed just 25 hits and 5 earned runs in the last 7 at Wrigley. So, I guess if the Cubs are home.
Forget Hendricks. Forget Hendricks.
Maybe you carry him.
Hamill's our man.
Well, I definitely think you have Hamill in the bullpen.
Oh, yeah.
But that's something, I guess, to really keep in mind is he could be valuable. Those splits make no sense to me.
No.
I'm going to have to look at that tomorrow because it's bizarre over the course of a season that the batting average would be a difference of 100, over 100 points.
The only thing I could find that was slightly different was the BABIP was like 310 on the road and then like 250 at home.
Oh.
But not enough to explain this kind of disparity.
Yeah.
I mean, it was big, but not that big.
It's interesting. Kurt, your son picked up some apples.
Nice. Too bad he didn't get some of that ground beef.
Yeah. Well, the apples are also have a good price right now. You can actually, those aren't on sale. They're trying to get rid of the stone fruits, you know, so the plums are looking good right now. So pick some of those up, too.
Okay, second question here. This is from Michael. And he says, aside from Hendricks, who has outperformed preseason expectations the most during this season, in your opinion?
Well, there's a lot of names that you could probably pick from. I just decided to look at Javi. I hope you didn't, Corey, because I figured that might be your go-to.
No, I didn't go to Javi.
Especially now that your trivia team took his name.
I am Team Javi. Javi. Team Javi.
Get off your hobby horse and get into the podcast booth. Javi, this year, he already played.
Oh, no.
He already played 4 positions last season, and he added the outfield to his repertoire this year. So that's one item on his list. He just increased his versatility. His strikeout percentage, we talked about, has gone down. He's down to 24.3 right now on the season, which...
he was at 41, right?
Right. It still isn't super, but he was over 30 in both the majors and the minors last year, and we're talking mid-30s, and, you know, flirting with 40. So that's good. And then the last season with Iowa and with the Cubs, he committed 18 errors, and this season he has only 6 errors on the season,
which I think is even more impressive given, like you said, he jumped around positions and
just his if there's a player on the team that's going to take a chance on a ball that he probably should have just eaten and not thrown, it's Javi.
Yeah,
and so 6 errors is kind of surprising.
Right.
He plays, I wouldn't say he plays reckless, but he plays
aggressively.
He's
daring. He's daring, and he makes so many plays that most other guys wouldn't make. So like you said, it is a little surprising the number's that low.
Yeah.
But it's just, I mean, think in your mind, I mean, how many circus plays you've seen him make this season? I mean, it's countless at this point.
Yeah.
So he's been great, and he's been a big asset to the Cubs.
Yeah. Kurt, any thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I won't add to the hobby, but I choose Team Contreras as far as my outperform, because I don't think any of us, I mean, we all expected he'd be up this year, but we didn't expect this kind of contribution. We didn't expect this much down year for Montero, and then for him to come in and sort of step right in. Fangraphs puts him at 1.7 WAR, and he's only played 68 games, where Yadi's at 2.2. And if, you know, if that's your catcher mark, and he's played double the game. So, I mean, he's shown he can handle the staff. His arm has been amazing, and he's been able to keep the average respectable and hit with power. So, I mean, it's huge value out of the catcher spot. So, I'm going with Wilson.
Yeah, and just him, like you said, his arm controlling the running game has been fun to watch. I mean, he, along with Javi, making the tags. Holy cow. It's been fun to watch.
Javi just beat out an infield hit, too. So
that's what I'm talking about.
There you go. Just supporting your argument.
Supporting my claims.
Yeah. I think for me, Lauren, she commented underneath this and said we need to take a minute and talk about Grandpa Rossi. I think 9 home runs from a, 39-year-old catcher?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he scored from first last night. I mean, that's we talked about, we're in a public place. Ligaments be darned.
Yeah. But, I mean, he looks spry. Like, up until that play last night, I think it was Jeremy maybe on Twitter, one of our listeners, said, I was ready to be on board with the play one more season, David Ross, until I saw that play last night. And I was like, well, you know, maybe it is time, you know.
But I liked how when he flopped in there, he just kind of laid there for a second. And I honestly thought, like, he was hurt.
Yeah.
But he was just, he couldn't breathe.
He was winded, yeah. Surprised they didn't slap some oxygen on him when he got into
the gif from when he got into the clubhouse or into the dugout?
I missed it.
Like he was trying to breathe. It's pretty,
I'll have to look that up. Good, yeah. I did note that the Cubs are 38-10 and David Ross starts.
That's probably more to do with Lester than Ross.
I mean, yeah, it has to do with. Primarily with the catchers that they're catching, because Miggy is 34-26. I'm sorry, the team is 34-26 when Miggy starts and 31-29 and Wilson starts. But, I mean, that's primarily due to the pitchers. But Ross calls a good game, though.
Yeah, he does.
And he can frame the ball like the Dickens.
Yeah. I think, I guess my answer, although you would expect it to be Javi, is maybe Jason Hamill. Just because...
Right.
I think we were just waiting for second half Hamill, and I think that some struggles in the second half made us quick to say, like, oh, yep, there it is, second half Hamill, just a little bit later than we thought. But, Kurt, you read that, like, last 7 games at home, and it kind of makes me think, like, yeah, maybe I'm just going off the eye test and not so much, like, what the numbers are saying.
And he has been the one guy who's had the contrast of really good outing and then really bad outing where he only went 3 and then he goes 7 and only gets up 4 hits. So it's,
we haven't really seen the other pitchers. Yeah. It doesn't feel like we've seen the other pitchers almost at all get knocked out of games early. Yeah.
But also, I mean, like, kind of think back to that game where Madden pulled Hamill super early. I mean, we haven't really seen Madden handle a pitcher like he handles Hamill.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, the next question here is from Alan. It says, talk about the guys from the minors that are likely to have impact for next year, either on the field or via trade.
I'm a little alarmed that Alan wants to talk about next year.
Hey, come on, Alan.
I don't know how to respond to this because I thought we were past this, Alan. But to give you a quick answer, I was going to say Pierce Johnson. I hope he gets back from his... He had a lot of injury troubles this year, and I think he could really... Either A, compete in spring training for that 5 spot, or just go to the bullpen and really contribute there. So that's my guy.
Yeah, were you going to talk about? I'm just going to jump on because I was going to talk about Pierce Johnson.
Yeah, sure.
I think all the levels up until Iowa, he had an ERA in the 3s, and then with Iowa this year, it was over 6. And so I think he maybe has some things to figure out. Like you mentioned, there's some reasons for it, but I kind of see him being as more of a midseason to August, September call up next year, because if he's able to kind of return to what he was earlier in the minors in the previous level or the lower levels, if he can return to that, prove it at Iowa. I mean, he's one of the few upper level pitching prospects that the Cubs have right now. Yeah. And so it's kind of like, I'm not sure, you look ahead to next season, I'm not sure that they really need him as that number 5. And I'm not sure if they need him really necessarily in the bullpen. So why not let him work on
stuff? But they could use him for that potential injury depth or something like
that.
Sure,
yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. I was going to say Jamer Candelario, not to make an impact with the Cubs, but to make a little bit of an impact via trade. He's a third baseman. He didn't really show much in his 11-game stint with the Cubs. Not 11 games, 11 at-bats. I'm sorry. He had 11 at-bats with the Cubs. And so he didn't show much there. But he's had good numbers at Iowa this season. His slash line is 283, 376, 464. And so he could be a good piece to move in a trade. It's not, they don't need a third baseman. I mean, Jamer could probably play first base too. Oh, wait, we don't need that either. So, right. So yeah, I mean, he's a designated hitter, third baseman type.
Right. Yeah. And it's just so hard to say with trades because, this front office isn't necessarily like predictable when it comes to that type of stuff. And, you know, with there not being any like urgent needs really anywhere with the team, it's kind of hard to. I'm getting distracted by your cute kids, Kurt.
Thanks.
Well, while you're distracted, be sure to get some frozen pizzas, 5 for $10 today after the podcast. Grab some of those pizzas.
So yeah. Anyway, the front office is just, it's kind of hard to predict. What they're going to do. They're not a, I don't know. And like I said, there's just no like urgent needs right now, especially position wise. And so I think it doesn't, I think Candelario's trade value could be increased pretty significantly if he has a really good spring training. And so that's why I wouldn't mind seeing them kind of hold on to him and showcase him a little bit during spring training because he didn't show much, like you said, in his short time up. So. John, he says, do you think there was less or do you wish there was less national media coverage on this team? And then he points to some examples, the big New York Times article, the Rizzo on the ESPN cover. And he said the playoffs haven't even begun. So does the national media attention concern you?
I'm not worried because Rizzo isn't on the 2016 RBI baseball cover anymore. I'm just kidding.
I have two answers. Number one, I don't notice these things because I don't pay attention. And number two, no, it doesn't bother me because this is what comes with being a good team. This is what comes with winning, let's assume, 100 games. And so if we wish it would go away, then you're wishing for the wrong thing. Because it's not going to go away. I mean, if you're good, you know.
Right. And I mean, just with the history or lack thereof of, you know, with the Cubs, I think that they're a story that, I mean, just wait till the playoffs start. Remember last year in the playoffs, we're going to hear a lot about Bartman. We're going to hear a lot about the GOAT and, you know, man, that we're just going to like revisit those narratives we've tried to ignore. So, unless it hurts them, I don't really care.
Well, one thing is we've already seen these young players handle all the attention with grace and aplomb. I mean, just think how much attention Rizzo gets for, you know, for his philanthropy and just for being a good player. And he seems to handle it really, really well. And the same goes for a lot of the other guys. I mean, even guys like Addy and Wilson and those guys seem to do pretty well with it.
And it seems like they have a good manager to be able to help them kind of navigate those situations and learn how to balance
keep
the
it light.
Pressure.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. That's where Madden really can shine. Yeah.
I think we're all a little bit uncomfortable with the Cubs finally getting to the point of what it means to be this big of a market team and have this kind of success and payroll and all of that that goes with it that we're not used to.
Right.
So
yeah,
it's weird to us.
It is. Next question here is from Matt, and he says, which player from last year's roster do you most wish the Cubs had available in the playoffs this year, Schwarber excluded? So can I share my answers first? Obviously, Phil Koch, followed by Mike Olt and Don Roach, Taylor Teagarden, and Soyushi Wada.
You didn't say any of my joke answers, which is even more hilarious. I like how today you just texted us the name John Graybo.
But who was the number three catcher last year, four catcher that came
Teagarden.
Up?
Teagarden.
Yeah.
Yeah. My joke players were Quentin Berry and Gonzalez German, but or Herman, I don't know. But Quentin Berry, though, I started thinking about it. He was a big-time speed threat as far as a pinch runner. And so I guess what Matt Caesar is that guy right now, I don't think, you know, he's exactly – I mean, he's fast, there's no doubt, but he's not like an electric base stealer.
Yeah.
So maybe that is a guy that they kind of
– Who's a guy that they acquired in the offseason like four different times.
I don't know.
Remember?
It was a pitcher. I don't know.
What was his name? Anyway, I guess.
Yeah. That one's lost to the annals of time. But for real though, I miss 2014 Neil Ramirez. I thought he showed a lot of promise, and then he's struggled with injuries. He hasn't really been the same since then, and he struggled in just 24 innings pitched this season. He played for the Brewers and the Twins this season and didn't do that well with either team. So feel bad for that guy. But, when he was in 2014, like his fastball would just blow people away. I mean, he looked really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't think of a position player. I mean, maybe you could say Rodney or Mott, but neither of them have been good this year in the second half. So I say maybe Herrera because he was a goofball.
But he didn't even make the playoff roster last year.
I know, but he had
the helmet.
didn't make the roster, but at least you have the helmet, buddy.
The helmet with the hands on it.
But I think that's a good indicator that they're better at every position. So it's hard to say.
I think my serious answer would be Dino D'Onofrio. Yeah. I mean, but again, not really.
Right.
You know, if I had.
I mean, yeah.
It turns out he wasn't the sickest player after all.
Not even close.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's not playing. All right. You can't do everything live, I guess. I was trying to play the Dino song.
I heard it for a second.
I know. It was kind of there, but I didn't want to blast everybody.
All right.
Okay. So the next question here is from Bill from Aurora, and he wants to know, should I be concerned about the many people left on base in a few recent losses, the Milwaukee series mainly? This is my biggest fear heading into the playoffs. Clutch hitting, and remember, never let my feelings get in the way of facts.
We've actually been talking about clutch a lot lately, it seems like. And I can't remember exactly what we've said on the podcast and what we've said via text, but I did kind of look into this, and he's right in the fact that the Cubs have stranded more base runners per game than any other team at 7.48. So yeah, they're at the bottom. And the best is San Diego at 6.03. But the top five teams in baseball with the lowest left on base are sub-500 teams. So I think it's not a good indicator of how good your team is. So to leave guys on base, you have to get guys on base.
Right.
And so the Cubs are second in OBP at 342, and the Padres are 29th at 299. So I think it's just an indicator that they get more guys on base and not an indicator that they can't get those guys in because they've scored a ton of runs, they have a huge run differential, and they have the most wins in baseball. So I mean, those are the numbers I think you need to look at.
And the 2015 Cubs were batted 237 with runners in scoring position. The 2016 Cubs are batting 251, so they've shown an improvement there.
Yeah, I think Bill and anyone else, if you feel like you need something to be nervous about, then sure, I guess that's worth being nervous about. Because I guess was there a good play?
Yeah, play at the plate that ended the inning.
Oh, nice. I think it's natural for any sports fan to be nervous about something. So, I'm nervous about them controlling the other team running in the postseason. And so,
yeah, I mean,
which isn't really a huge,
it's a strong team. I mean, but every team has its weaknesses.
Right. If that's your weakness, then
we'll take that, I guess.
Speaks to how good the team is. Dan says, is anyone watching Boston because they're really good? And then he kind of goes in and explains. So the Cubs the Red Sox have no one in their starting lineup batting under 250. They have three guys with 100-plus RBIs. He said, meanwhile, Russell, Soler, Hayward, Montero all batting under 250. And they have five guys with 20-plus home runs to our three. But he does talk about pitching, and he points out that Cubs pitching looks stronger than the Red Sox.
He mentions that they have Priscillo Price and Wright. Is that Wesley Wright?
Yes.
You guys remember him?
He's found his arm,
and he's found the magic in Boston. No, it's Stephen Wright. Wait a second, Stephen Wright, and why is it that people park on a driveway and drive on a parkway? That guy.
One time I tried to open my apartment with my car key and drove it around the block.
You can't have everything in the world. Where would you put it?
Oh, man. Yeah, Boston's really good right now. Yeah. They're playing good baseball. So
yeah, their numbers are good, especially their offensive numbers. The BABIP for Boston has been more friendly. They've gotten luckier than the Cubs this season with BABIP. So maybe that's worth noting, but maybe not. Yeah.
But I think the good news of this is if they face Boston, it will be in the World Series. So
yep.
I'll take that because you have to beat the best teams to win the World Series. So if it's Boston, so be it.
Yep. Kevin from Canada, he says, when would be an appropriate time to open my Fergie Jenkins wine?
I don't think we need to answer this one. I think we can let Sean O'Hare answer it.
What did he say?
He said, when Fergie comes to your house and opens it for you, no sooner.
Well, if you're a Cubs fan, Fergie will probably come by your house at some point. So
for a small donation to charity, he will open that one.
And sign some autographs for your friends.
Brett from Arizona, he says, can you guys talk about what your ideal matchups would be for each series of the postseason? No worries if you want to wait longer, but we'll talk about it tonight.
I was gonna say I want to wait longer.
You want to?
It's up to you.
Yeah, well, we've kind of touched on this, that it doesn't really matter to us. I mean, nobody feels threatening at this point, so at least in the early stages, and the later stages are just too hard. There's too many variables to predict who you could face in the NLCS. So
I really go back and forth with wanting to face the Cardinals in the NLDS because just the opportunity to knock them out 2 years in a row would be really nice. On the other hand, the idea of this season being derailed by the Cardinals is like one of the most painful things I can imagine.
That would be a nightmare.
But you could get a taste of them knocking them out if they just swept them this weekend. And then they'd knock them out of the wild card.
Right.
They'd be like, well, we got a little bit of that, but we didn't have to see them in the playoffs.
Yeah. Mm. I like that. Did you have something else to add, Andy?
Yeah, I was thinking for the Cubs that maybe they would like to get some tomato basil soup for 99 cents here at Hy-Vee tonight.
One more question here. This is from Chase, and he says, I know it's still 2016, but I'm really looking forward to our interleague schedule next year at Boston, and then they host the Yankees and the Rays, then at Baltimore, and then host the White Sox, at the White Sox, host the Blue Jays, and then at the Rays down in Tampa. So I like playing the AL East because it's kind of a fun division right now. You know, that was a division where it was hard to imagine 5-10 years ago. It was hard to imagine like Baltimore ever being able to compete with. It just looked like a division that was owned by the Red Sox and the Yankees, and that's the way it was always going to be. And what the Rays did there for a number of years, and now Baltimore, you know, with their offense and everything. I think those are fun matchups, and anytime you can have matchups between three of the most historic teams in baseball, in the Yankees, Red Sox, and Cubs, I think that's a fun season.
So. Yeah. I think it's a fun fan matchup. The only downside really to me is that the NL East will play the AL West. And, you know, so let's say it's a little tighter race next year and you're competing in the wild card against the Giants and they've swept the Angels.
Yeah, but what makes you think that our division will be, why would we be in a wild card?
I'm not saying that you are. I'm just saying it is potentially possible. And if you're playing tougher opponents,
I don't see the NL. I see the NL Central being weaker over the next year or two. I mean, I think. Yeah, like you said, we don't need to be looking ahead to next year. So,
let's stop. Yeah, come on, Alan. Sorry,
Chase.
Alan. Thank
and
you.
Chase.
Yeah, Chase. Come on, Chase.
Chase is guilty too.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to do some internet muscle flexes. And so if you're here in the room and you're not sure exactly what an internet muscle flex is, we go to Cubs' social media accounts and then find instances where commenters have made, for the lack of a better term, just kind of stupid statements. And then we read them on the podcast and make fun of them and hope that the commenter doesn't listen to our podcast. So we have several.
Usually they should have checked themselves before they posted these in the first place. So we're actually doing a public service and just checking them after the fact.
Right. Because they need to be checked at some point. So.
So you're trying to go down the line?
Sure. How many do you have?
Four. I think. Yeah, four.
I have several that are kind of...
But I don't need to do all four.
Well, here, go ahead and do one. I'm going to do like a all bunch right. of mine in a row because they're all like kind of the same topic.
I think my first one's a good one to start on. There was an article on Cubs.com, and I got all these from Cubs.com. The article title was Lackey Looks to Lock Down Sweet versus Reds. And the only reason I clicked on it is because there was only one comment on the little thing.
The entire article?
Yes, one comment. And this is the one comment. Luckily, Lackey's locking look lacks laser-lear-like life. So I thought that was amazing. No one responded. No one thought it was any good except me.
And enjoy some good laser leering. Okay, guys, I wrote that.
I kind of thought you did.
Oh, man.
Alliteration Andy over there.
That's tongue twister territory. That's ridiculous. All right. You guys,
go ahead.
You want me to do one? Okay. All right, cool. Let's see. Beth, who's over there, my wife, she sent me some muscle flexes. She looked them up for me. This commenter is posting on a... posting on Cubs Instagram, and it says, I love the Cubs, but I blame them for my...
Watch, I think they're going to show him trying to breathe. Oh, no, they skipped it. Sorry.
We were interrupted.
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
We were interrupted by the Rosp dive.
No, it's okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
Anyway, this commenter says, I love the Cubs, but I blame them for my negative outlook on life, LOL. this current team literally cannot hit at all. They will get swept by St. Louis Mets or Giants. Just a Cub lover right here. Just
I love this Cub. They literally cannot hit.
Figuratively cannot hit.
So mine kind of go along with that. So these are all from Cubs Instagram, and they're all from the day after or Sunday. So after the Cubs clinched the playoff spot on Friday, then lost on Saturday for obvious reasons, celebration reasons. So these are some of the comments. Forgettable weekend. We beat the best teams and lose to the worst. So yes. The weekend that the Cubs won the division was completely forgettable.
With like over 20 games to go right, or whatever.
Right. And so the worst team in our division, the Reds. Here we go. So the Cubs went 12-3 against the Reds this year so far. Then tonight they could improve that. An 800 winning percentage. So this person says that they beat the best teams and lose to the worst. So the worst, they have an 800 winning percentage against. The only teams in baseball that they played less than 500 against would be the Mets and the Rockies. And they have an over 500 winning percentage against every other team that they played. Yet they always lose to the worst teams.
You just flexed on the flexer.
Mm-hmm. Here's some other ones. This person says, I hope this series isn't habit forming.
What?
Here's another one. This team is playing like the Braves. They're going to continue that in the playoffs. Yeah.
Haven't the Braves like won a ton of games recently?
I'm not even paying attention to that.
Well, I think they had... I think they have played pretty well recently.
Huh. So, maybe that's a good thing then. Maybe this person, I don't.
Let's not give him too much credit.
This person says, this is like just your good old negative Cubs fan, probably the same person that posted that other thing, trying to stay optimistic, but this happens every year. Every year.
It's probably true. They do lose to the Reds at least once a year.
Again, just a reminder, this is from the day after they clinched. Way to blow that game, Cubs. Now that they won the division title, they aren't playing like themselves. One game since they won the division.
It wasn't the starters, so they weren't themselves.
I don't know... There's something about the wording that made me laugh. It says, home field turf, please, then I can breathe. I just liked referring to it as home field turf.
They've only had that turf for a few weeks, so. I must have picked.
That was a lot.
Beth must have grabbed one from that same post. It shows David Ross with the clinching shirt on or whatever.
Oh.
And this commenter said, "Oh, I didn't know Cubs won. World Series guys celebrating a little early. Beat it."
Were there no periods in that sentence?
Yeah, well, there were emojis, so it kind of threw me off as far as my cadence.
Well, I have another one that is not really a traditional flex, but I thought it was hilarious. And it comes from John Lester. And I think he was kind of flexing on a reporter who asked him a question about he got hit in the hand with a comebacker. And he just said, "It's fine. It's my right hand. I don't need it. All it's there for is to hold the glove. I'll be fine. It's a long way from my heart." Which I thought was great.
I retweeted that, Mooney quoting that, because I like the, I don't need, as a lefty, I like that I don't need my right hand sentiment.
I don't
it's
need
far
it.
From my heart.
It's a long way.
That's good.
Are you done, Corey?
I have one more.
Spend them all?
I can do mine real quick. And this one I'm going to edit. So where I say I'll say crummy in place of the SH word. Since there's children in the house. So this is from Cubs Instagram, and this person comments and says, "We actually need a pitcher, not crummy Arrieta or that 520 away Hamill." Yep. That crummy Arrieta.
Well, I have two more. Let me get one in before you hear, Kurt. On Cubs Instagram, the Cubs posted this little card they were giving away at Cubs Social. It was like a gift card.
Yeah, it was like a
hologram,
yeah,
basically, of David Ross doing the double thumbs up gif, you know, that one that everybody's seen. And so the Cubs posted, "Comment with double thumbs up emojis for your chance to win this gift card. Gift card, hashtag Cubs Social." And so this guy commented, "You spelt gift card wrong." Which I... Spelt is an acceptable spelling for the past tense of spelled, but it's more of like a British English spelling. But this guy just really loves T's. I spell spelled past tense spelt, and I also, you know, GIF should be gift.
It's a former GIF. All right, so my last one actually is Reds fans. Because Reds fans love to argue that Joey Votto is terrible. And he's actually a pretty good offensive player. He's not a great guy, but
you want to know how? Are you going to talk about how good he is?
No, I'm not going to give any stats to back it up. Let's just accept the fact that he gets on base a lot.
Can I pull up one of his stats real quick?
You can. I'll wait.
I'm almost there. Okay, here. Okay, Joey Votto. Post All-Star break, right? We're 10 days from the end of the season. Post All-Star break, Joey Votto, I already lost it, has hit .413. .413.
Wow.
Since the All-Star break.
And what's his OBP?
.498.
So that means he is hitting, like, not just walking, which is, this argument comes from somebody accusing him of only taking walks and never hitting.
Right. He does take a lot of walks, but.
Which is not so bad.
The teams pitch around him. There's nobody else to pitch to on the Reds.
Right.
I mean, they can pitch to everyone else on the Reds.
Right.
Huh. But the really funny part comes to the fact that the one person's screen name is Pink Floyd Time. And then they go back and forth for a while about Votto. And they're both Reds fans. And finally, this other...
On a Cubs article?
Well, it was one. It was about like a series recap thing.
Right.
And finally, the person just had enough with Pink Floyd Time and says, "Oh, good. Here, I thought you had some. You keep shaking. I hate to use this, but here goes. I've forgotten more about baseball than you'll ever know." Sure you have a smart reply to that. "Good night, Pink Floyd Time. Go listen to The Wall. It's more your speed."
That's good.
All comes from a Joey Votto argument, who you just, you know, shared the stat of why, at least offensively, Joey Votto is really good. And they just cannot get on the same page about that fact.
Oh, that is awesome.
One more.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
This is an image on, I think it's Cubs Instagram, of Rizzo and Bryant just hanging out, being bros in the dugout. It looks like they're just kind of having a lighthearted time. And the Cubs commented, or their caption is, "Don't work too hard today, hashtag Monday motivation, hashtag Labor Day." And this commenter commented, "The Cubs are a skid mark on the underpants of baseball."
Oh,
goodness.
And that person's a Cubs fan.
I don't know any better way to end this episode.
Eat my shorts.
right. So that does it for this episode. It's brought to you by all of our Patreon supporters. We have Patreon supporters in the house here. Three? You got Tony, Jane, Josh back there, Ronnie's woo-woo or whatever you're right, yeah. So, yeah, so thank you in person for supporting this podcast. You can thank these people for us doing this for 8 seasons now. So if you like what we're doing and you would like to help support us, help pay the podcasting bills, and help us do our live events, you can go to patreon.com/IVMV. Thanks to the Market Grill here in Hy-Vee for hosting us tonight. Thanks to everybody that came out to hang out with us and watch the Cubs and listen to Cubs talk. We'll be back on Sunday, most likely to talk about how the Cubs have home field advantage throughout the NLCS and anything else that happens in the world of the Cubs. And until then, go Cubs. We're gonna pop champagne. Gonna pop champagne by the lakeside.